की, नमाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की, सद गोस्वामी की, प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत राधा शिवास हरि गौर भक्तविंद की, श्री राधा कृष्ण गोपीनाथ शमकुंदा राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की, वृंदावन धाम की, मथुर राम की, नवद्वीप धाम की, मायापुर राम की, जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की, गंगमाई की, जमुनामाई की, तुलसी देवी की, भक्ति देवी की, समवेत भक्त वृंद की, श्री युगधाम हरिनाम संकीर्तन की, श्री रघुनाथ दास रघुनाथ भक्त कृष्ण कविराज तिरुभाव महोत्सव की जाय। तय गौर प्रेम नंदी All glory to the assembled devotees, all glory to the assembled devotees, all glory to the assembled devotees, all glory to Shri Guru, Shri Gauranga. Hare Krishna. So it's a pleasure to have this opportunity to try to offer some service to all of you wonderful Vaishnavas and to be here in the presence of Shishi Radharas Bihari, Shishi Gorni Dai, Shishi Tamam Lakshman Hanuman, Shita Prabhupada. By your blessings, I can say something meaningful. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, first chapter, text number 21. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Giram Samadho Gagane Samiritam. Nishamya Vedas Trishadan Uchata Uvachaha Kampo Rushime Shunata Marapuna Mediyatam Ashutatai Vamachiram Giram Samadho Gagane Samiritam Nishamya Vedas Tridasan Uvachaha Kamporushimme Shinuta Marapuna Vidhiyatam Ashutatai Vamachiram Giram Samadho Gagane Samiritam Shamya Vedas Tridashan Uvachaha Gamborushimme Shunata Marapuna Vidhiyatam Ashutatai Vamachiram Samadho Gagane Samiritam Shamya Veda Fidasan Vachacha Samiritam Nirveda Vidashanu Vacha Giram
samado gagane samiritam Kishamya Veda Didasana Vachaha Kambodhase Meshutana Marabhuna Yiram Samadho Gagane Samiritam Kishamya Veda Didasana Vachaha Kamparu Shemesh Namara Punam Yadiyatam Ashu Tataiva Mechidam Yadam Samadho Gagane Samiritam Shemesh Tanamara Puna Vidyatam Ashuta Taiva Machiram
Vaishnavis
Tam Samadho Gagane Samiritam Nyaveda Vidashanu Vacha Kamporushe Meshtana Marapuna Niyatam Ashuta Taiva Meshtam Nirmado Gagane Samiritam Shamya Veda Tridashanu Vacha Kamporushe Meshtana Marapuna Yetam Ashutam
Yiram, a vibration of words. Samado, in trance. Gagane, in the sky.
Samiritam,
vibrated.
Hishamya,
hearing.
Veda,
Lord Brahma,
Tridashan,
unto the demigods,
Uvacha,
said,
Ha,
O,
Gam,
the order,
Purushim,
received from the Supreme Person,
Me,
from me,
Shrinuta,
just here.
Amara,
O demigods,
Puna,
again.
Vidhiyatam,
execute.
Ashu,
immediately.
Tata
eva,
just so.
Ma,
do not.
Chiram,
delay.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.
While in trance, Lord Brahma heard the words of Lord Vishnu vibrating in the sky. Thus he told the demigods, O demigods, hear from me the order of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, the Supreme Person, and execute it attentively without delay.
Everyone can please repeat.
While in trance,
Lord Brahma heard the words
of Lord Vishnu
vibrating in the sky.
Thus he told the demigods,
O demigods,
hear from me
the order of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu,
the Supreme Person,
and execute it attentively
without delay.
Purports.
It appears that the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be heard in trance by competent persons. Modern science gives us telephones by which one can hear sound vibrations from a distant place. Similarly, although other persons cannot hear the words of Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma is able to hear the Lord's words within himself. This is confirmed in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.1. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye. Adikavi is Lord Brahma. In the beginning of the creation, Lord Brahma received the instructions of Vedic knowledge from Lord Vishnu through the medium of the heart, Hrida. The same principle is confirmed herewith. While Brahma was in trance, he was able to hear the words of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, and he carried the Lord's message to the demigods. Similarly, in the beginning, Brahma first received the Vedic knowledge from the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the core of the heart. In both instances, the same process was used in transmitting the message to Lord Brahma. In other words, although Lord Vishnu was invisible even to Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma could hear Lord Vishnu's words through the heart. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is invisible even to Lord Brahma. Yet he descends on this earth and becomes visible to people in general. This is certainly an act of his causeless mercy. But fools and non-devotees think that Krishna is an ordinary historical person. Because they think that the Lord is an ordinary person like them, they are described as mudha, avajananti mam mudha. The causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is neglected by such demoniac persons who cannot understand the instructions of Bhagavad Gita and who therefore misinterpret them. Om Jnanatimirandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Tadati Svabhadantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivashari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Panchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. In the beginning of his purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions invisible vibrations. No. He says, just like almost everybody here, probably everybody, has a cell phone. No. But without the apparatus, you can't hear. There's so many. Right now we have 500, 1,000 sound vibrations from cell phones going through us, but we cannot hear them. Srila Prabhupada, in one class, speaking on the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he said that although the modern world, modern scientists are so proud of their technology, 5,000 years ago, Sanjaya had better technology. You know? And now we can see, even now there's satellites. Some of them can maybe see us and hear the class, although they wouldn't be so interested. No, they're looking for terrorists and this and that. You know, although they may be the greatest terrorists. I hope they didn't hear that. So, but Sanjaya, he could, by mystic power, and Srila Prabhupada said, he actually indicated that this mystic power is actually just subtle technology. All technology comes from Krishna. Not that we have invented technology. We haven't invented anything. No. We haven't discovered anything. Well, discover is a nice word because it means it was covered, and if you can discover it, then this is the method. which is given here. No, this is discovery. So Lord Brahma, he says that he hears this vibration that also indicates that the vibration of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is available to everyone. But who can actually perceive it? Just like we give out, especially here in India, millions and millions of Bhagavad Gita's, Srimad Bhagavatam, so many books, Science of Self-Realization, all these books, and the pure vibration is there, but how many people can perceive it? Even they read Bhagavad Gita, or they come and hear some lecture, some class, and then they go away. If they actually heard it, then there would be a transformation in their life. Whenever we hear properly, then a transformation takes place. It must take place because it is so powerful. But that powerful message can only be perceived by those who are desirous of understanding who is Krishna. It's like today is the disappearance day of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Brahma is very, very advanced. And therefore, he can hear this message. And as it says here, that that he, Vedas, Tridashan, he gave it to the demigods. In previous verses, it's explained that that Brahma invited Lord Indra, because whenever the Lord wants to execute something, the most competent persons to execute it within this world are the demigods. Because this message is going to come from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore you must have the most qualified persons. Just like we have our altar service, we don't invite anybody, Oh, could you come and do the puja? No, some visitor. No, we find the most qualified person. If we want to deliver the message of the Bhagavan, of the Bhagavatam, then we find the most qualified person, except for today, but any other day, we find the most qualified person. So this is, everybody does this. But somehow or another, people nowadays, it's in the recent, there was a poll, maybe about 3 years ago, where they asked people, what is your religion? And they found out that the most popular religion nowadays is whatever I feel. Otherwise, whatever I think it is, God, Supreme, Not even good Mayavad. At least good Mayavadis, they learn some Shastra and just try to support. But nowadays, just whatever you feel, whatever you think. So, therefore, there's no qualification. Just like Srila Prabhupada gave the example so many times that people will ask, can you show me God? And Prabhupada would say, what is your qualification? One man especially, he kept telling Prabhupada, can you show me God? He said, yes. And he said it again and again. And then he said, so where is God? And Prabhupada picked up Bhagavad Gita, here. Otherwise, here, in this Krishna consciousness movement, we have a tangible, sound incarnation of the Lord, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Here you can see. Otherwise, people are simply living from their imagination. So, Vedas Tridhasan Uvachaha. So Lord Brahma, he took Lord Indra and the demigods because there were things that had to be done. Otherwise, the Supreme Personality of Godhead would be coming. And therefore, the demigods had to be there to take care of him. But also, what is the mission? Part of the mission is the earth is pleading, please relieve this burden. So therefore, he also requested Lord Shiva, please come. You are the annihilator. So some demons will have to be annihilated. So he brought all his whole qualified group, his crew, to be able to execute the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then it says, no, that this message is coming directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parushim Me. No. Parushim, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is giving it, but Me Shrinuta. But you should hear it, you'll be hearing it from me. So here, in this verse, the Bhagavatam is emphasizing that although that vibration is there, you must capture that vibration from a qualified via medium, a spiritual master, the pure devotee of the Lord. Otherwise, how can we possibly understand the message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? No. And we know that if you don't have that via medium, it's like Srila Prabhupada says in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, that one lady asked me, what is the need for another Bhagavad Gita? There's so many Bhagavad Gitas. But who has written them? Who has spoken them? All different kinds of interpretations, all different kinds of misrepresentations. And therefore here, he says, this is coming for the Supreme Lord, but you do not have the qualification. Therefore, you must hear it from me. And who is he speaking to? Amara. No. Amara, the demigods. So Jiva Goswami says in relation to this that they are Amara because they're hearing this message. No. Otherwise, as soon as we properly hear the message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we become Amara, or eternal, immortal, deathless. No. Until that point, we are simply subjected to birth, death, old age, and disease. But as soon as we can hear properly, hearing, Srila Prabhupada said, there's a difference between hearing and listening. Hearing means you capture the message, and listening means we actually come to the Bhagavatam class like a ritual. First there was this ritual, then there's this ritual, then there's this ritual. Something mechanical. No? Now some things we can do mechanically, but even just standing in the artik or taking darshan of the deity, if you do it mechanically, I remember many times in going to different temples in South India especially, you see this, and here also. But people come, coconut and bananas. And they give coconut bananas and a donation. Then they get back coconut bananas and tulsi leaf. You know? It's like some process, almost like a assembly line. You know? You give your coconut bananas and you go to the other side, you get coconut bananas. And if you didn't get any donation, then you get less coconut, less bananas, you know, and no tulsi leaf. You know? So, and here people come, they offer garland, they want blessings. Of course, everyone wants the blessings of the Lord, but here, what we're doing now, this is the real blessing of the Lord. To hear the Bhagavatam is the real blessing of the Lord. Not that, you know, blessings are not electromagnetic currents that they come from somewhere and they just hit us on the head or they are actually the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the orders of the spiritual master, the realizations of the Vaishnavas. As Sri Narottam Das Thakur says, Hari Guru Vaishnava Bhagavata Gita. That the blessing means that we worship Lord Hari and we hear from him. That is, Srila Prabhupada said, the greatest worship or the greatest service we can do is to hear properly. Because by hearing properly, then you will be able to serve Krishna properly. If you don't hear properly, then how will you serve properly? Just like Damodar Pandit, when he was with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at one point, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was being served. One young boy was coming and giving some service and hearing from him. And Damodar Pandit, he came to the Lord very concerned. My Lord, you have to stop seeing this boy. Because this boy, his mother is a very beautiful widow. And so if someone sees you with the boy, they will extrapolate. They will think that you are somehow connected. So although his intention was good, no, his etiquette was not proper. So even though we may have a good intention of coming to the Bhagavatam class, going to Artik, doing our service, if we're not doing it, as it says here, samadhav, if we're not doing it in trance, in meditation, that just like someone may be cooking. You know, sometimes I see in a kitchen, many people are cooking, but they're also speaking. You know, but they should be meditating. Just like Mother Yashoda, she would cook for Krishna and she would sing songs glorifying Krishna's activities, or she would hear songs from the Brahmins while she was cooking. It was always a meditation. Everything to make it very wonderful for Krishna. Actually, we're almost at the beginning of Kartik, and Kartik month, that's how it begins. It begins by, well, Kartik month is celebrated, that Krishna, he wants milk, and Mother Yashoda is giving him milk, but then there's more milk. And she took so much time and effort to personally prepare this milk, churned everything, churned out the butter, and was boiling the milk. And therefore, when she saw that the milk was boiling over, even one of our acharyas said, the milk was boiling over out of ecstasy. The milk also wanted to see Krishna. So it was boiling up to come to see Krishna. But in any case, she saw that, and it's mentioned that someone may think that she was negligent. She put Krishna down and she went to take care of the milk. But there was no negligence, because her only meditation was, I've got the best milk from the best cows. I personally have prepared it. And therefore, I must make sure that Krishna gets this highest quality milk, so that he won't go stealing butter and milk from the houses of my neighbors. That was her meditation. So everything we do, if we come before the deity, we should be meditating. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before Ratyatra, the day of Ratyatra, he and his devotees would be allowed to come into the inner chambers of Lord Jagannath. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sit there for hours meditating on the lotus face of Jagannath, meditating on his transcendental form for hours. Sometimes we do it quick ritual, 5 minutes, no. Then we go do what we want to do. But the it should be meditation. Exactly. I remember when I was a brahmachari on our Radha Damodar bus, Tripurari Maharaj would always tell us that he would ask, like when in class time, what type of crown was the deity wearing today? You know, what was the color of the dress? What was the color of the garment? If you didn't know, no prasadam. No. So it was very effective means of meditation. No. They said that the best way to a man's heart is through his stomach. No. So the best way to reach the heart, that Krishna reaches the heart sometimes, is prasadam. So Lord Brahma, he is, and then he says, this must be done immediately. This is also a very important aspect of this verse, that devotional service is the most important thing. Not that, yes, I will do devotional service once I graduate from university, once I finish this, once I get married, once I make enough money, no. And we keep putting it off, and then once I retire, then I'll have so much time, no. One devotee, I've mentioned this several times, he wrote to Srila Prabhupada and he said, Srila Prabhupada, I want to study Ayurveda. And Prabhupada said, no, no. So the devotee was bewildered. He thought, but Prabhupada, I'm going to get married, so this seems to me a very good profession. But Prabhupada said that What happens if you're studying Ayurveda and you die? No. So Prabhupada said, first you become Krishna conscious. Then you can, whatever you need to do. First you become, Prabhupada also said, whatever you have, when you come to Krishna consciousness, that you can use for Krishna, but don't try to acquire anything else. No. As Krishna also says, that we should not acquire so many things in this material world. No. Because it's very difficult to acquire them, more difficult to preserve them, and even more difficult to give them up. No. So, we should not be so busy acquiring things. No. Otherwise, we start this chain of difficulty, which becomes more and more difficult. So he says immediately, the first thing, you must, atato brahma jigyasa, we must become Krishna conscious. So, especially the acharyas that we're celebrating their disappearance day today, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita. He didn't sit down and think, let me write a book. No. But he received from another of the acharyas who we're celebrating today, Raghunath Das Goswami, he received all of the intimate instructions and indications and notes of Swarup Damodar, which had been meticulously memorized by Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami transmitted that to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami he worshipped Vrindavan Das Thakur, because Vrindavan Das Thakur, he glorified so wonderfully in his Chaitanya Mangala, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, who Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he was famous, he mentions in Chaitanya Charitamrita, fifth chapter, Adi Lila, how he got the great fortune to go to Vrindavan. He said, I should not say this. This is not public knowledge. But I must do it because it will glorify the Supreme Personality of God. He said that in my house, we had regular worship of the Lord, kirtan, 24 hours a day. But then, such a great devotee of the Lord, Sri Miniketana Ramdas, he came to my house. He was so absorbed in love of Godhead that one arm would be trembling and the other arm would be still. That sometimes he would, when a devotee offered obeisances, he would jump on his back and strike him lightly with his flute or slap him. But by doing that, he would give them love of God. So, such a wonderful devotee. But when he came in, all the devotees paid obeisances. But the priest, Gunardava Mishra, he didn't. He just ignored him. And then Miniketana, because he was glorifying Nityananda Prabhu, he said, here we have a second Roma Harshana. Here, this man is not glorifying Nityananda. No. And when Krishnadas Kaviraj heard this, he said, he chastised his brother, that how can you allow this? How can you have this attitude of glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and not glorifying Nityananda Prabhu? Better to ignore both of them. Or you either ignore both of them or glorify both of them. But if you worship one and don't worship the other, then this is the greatest offense. So he chastised his brother. And he said, if you don't do this immediately, you will fall down. But his brother was more attached to this priest who was just a ritualistic Brahmin. And so his brother fell down. But he felt good that he did the right thing. Sometimes we have to do something in relation to others, to others' service, we have to chastise them. Sometimes we have to do that, especially if we're in some position. But it should never be done as a criticism. It should never be done with a mentality of malice or a mentality of thinking the other person is less, but in the mentality of service, in the mentality of compassion. Sometimes we tell people, oh, you shouldn't do this in front of the deity, or you do that. No, we, out of compassion, not out of pride, not out of some improper understanding. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj, then after that happened, he had a dream. In the dream, Lord Nityananda appeared with a beautiful turban, earrings, and a dark complexion, like Krishna's complexion. And he was smiling. And he said, immediately you must go to Vrindavan. Then you will find all good fortune. And he woke up in the morning, and he went to Vrindavan. If we could only do that, you know, have some dream. And then immediately he left his house, he left everything. There's not so much known about him, whether he had a family or he didn't have a family, but he just left and went to Vrindavan. And because of that surrender, Lord Maran Gopal, or Maran Mohan, appeared in his dream and said, you have got this wealth of knowledge. You should give it to the world. And then he understood. And when he told the devotees, that Madan Mohan, when he went to the temple and Madan Mohan, his garland fell onto the ground and the priest put it on him and he took this as the confirmation. And the devotees all cheered and said, Hari Bol. So he understood, the Lord and his devotees are requesting me to do something, even though I have no qualification. And then he wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the only reason he wrote it was because Vrindavan Das Thakur became so absorbed in the childhood pastimes of the Lord, of Lord Chaitanya and Dhyananda, that he could not finish. He was already thinking that this book is becoming so voluminous. So just like in Chaitanya Bhagavat, the Lord takes sannyas in the Antya Lila, but in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he takes it at the beginning of Madhya Lila. So this is the later part. But this was his great contribution. And of course his humility saying that I am just like a worm in stool. If anyone hears my name, they will become addicted to sinful activities. You know, they will fall down. But this was his humility. So such a great devotee. So this devotee, although he was so... here we see Lord Brahma. He could not see Lord Vishnu. He is the topmost personality. Just like we have our hierarchical system here in ISKCON. We have GBC, we have Prabhupada, GBC, sannyasis, Brahmins. And we have all this hierarchy. But maybe the newest bhakta in the temple will be more advanced than anyone. No, we don't know. No. So this Brahma is the topmost hierarchical person in the universe. But he could not see. No, he could not see Lord Vishnu. In the later on, in the 10th canto, that it stated that Ninambarincho Nabhavo, that even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, no, and Nashri up Yata Samshaya, even the goddess of fortune, who is the better half of Lord Vishnu, otherwise she has a lot of influence over Lord Vishnu. But all those three, Brahma, Shiva, Lakshmi, Prasadam, Lebhire Gopi, they could not achieve the same fortune, yat tat prapa bimuktidat. They could not achieve the same fortune as Mother Yashoda. No. And later in the Bhagavatam, Uddhava, he says, even Brahma Even the goddess of fortune, they worship the Lord within the mind. They can achieve, they can do that. They're very surrendered. But these gopis of Vrindavan, they can embrace Krishna with their arms. And they're so advanced that they can take his lotus feet and put it on their chest. No, that is how. And even when they do that, they feel like we have offended the Lord. Our chest is so hard. No, and his lotus feet are so soft. Who can compare to them? No. When Arjuna, he asked the Lord in the Adi Purana, he said, "Who? You have so many devotees of so many different categories of devotees. Who among all those devotees is the best?" And Krishna answered very similar thing. He said, "Na tata me priyatamo, Brahma rudras cha partiva." That no one is so dear to me, even Arjuna, O King. No one is so dear to me. Brahma, no, Shiva, Rudra, Nacha Lakshmir, Nachatmacha. Not Lakshmi and not even my own self are so dear as Yata Gopi Jano Mama, as these wonderful gopis of Vrindavan. So, but these acharyas who we are celebrating today, they could hear Krishna, they could see Krishna, they were protected by Krishna. Just like Raghunath Das Goswami, he was at an advanced age when he was in Radhakund. He would sit on the banks, sometimes in a shade tree, sometimes without a shade tree. He would sit there. And one day, Sanatana Goswami came and he saw two tigers drinking from Radhakund. And Raghunath Das, he was simply meditating on the Lord's transcendental pastimes, chanting the holy name. And Sanatana Goswami saw these tigers. And he said, he came to Raghunath and he said, "My dear Raghunath, I have been given the duty of caring for the Vaishnavas. And therefore, I want you to build a bhajan kutir. Otherwise, everyone will be in anxiety. You're meditating, there are tigers." You know, at that time, there was Radhakund was just a pond, you know, in the jungle. And there are so many dangerous animals. So please, he did not care for it. But when he got the instruction from Sanatana Goswami, then he must do it. Just like demigods here, they get the instruction. We must do this. So Lord Brahma, so qualified, who's coming with Lord Shiva, so qualified. But no one could see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Sri Narada Muni, who is the son of Lord Brahma, the student of Lord Brahma, he can go to Vaikuntha, he can go to Goloka Vrindavan, you know, because of his bhakti. Whereas Lord Brahma, he had to, of course he did see Krishna in the beginning, but he saw Krishna in his very exalted form, as it says in the previous verse, you know, Jagannath Deva Devam, you know, Jagannatham Deva Devam, that the Lord of the universe, the supreme God of all gods, you know, Deva Devam. He saw him like that. Of course, if we refer to Srila Prabhupada's purport here, where he says that Teni Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye, from the first the beginning of the first canto. And so he says that the Lord can be perceived in the heart. So we're very fortunate that Lord Jagannath comes in the form of Jagannath, or he comes in the form of Nilacha Purushottam. And in that form, he can only be seen with the heart. Otherwise, people would see him as a statue. Even the British, they had they had the term juggernaut. They took, because Jagannath was so overwhelming, this huge deity with this huge cart. So they from that they took the term juggernaut, meaning something very great, very powerful, that can overcome you. So everything is coming to the Lord. So the point is that from the Vedic point of view, from the official point of view, we see Lord Vishnu, Jagannath. But the devotees of Krishna, they see Jagannath and they see him. They see him. Now another thing that's mentioned here at the end of the purport is that how is it, Srila Prabhupada poses the question. He explains it, but it's actually posing a question. How is it that so many people, when Krishna came, they saw him in Vrindavan, they saw him in Dwarka, they saw him in Kurukshetra. No, not just his devotees, but so many people. And this, as Srila Prabhupada says here, this is his causeless mercy. Otherwise, there's no other explanation. Lord Brahma, the most qualified person in the universe, the head of the universe, could not see him. But someone in Dwarka could see him. So this is his causeless mercy. And when he comes in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can see him through the agency of his holy name. We can see him. Just like Krishna says in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that he says to Arjuna that only... He says that Arjuna, only by unalloyed devotional service can you actually understand me. You can understand me, gyatum, drashtum, you can see me, and you can enter into the mystery. Otherwise, you can enter into the mystery of devotional service. How? Simply by serving Krishna, that Supreme Purushottam, who is creating unlimited universes, emanating from him, and maintaining them, and withdrawing them. And he's sleeping. When we're sleeping, just like if someone is sleeping in the class, we may think he's not very interested. No, he's sleeping. Usually if we're sleeping, we're not very interested. So that means that Krishna, he's not so interested. He expands as Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu, just to do this whole thing, he showed, I'm so powerful, I can manage unlimited universes while sleeping. No. But Krishna, if he sees a devotee crying out to him, Like a child crying for the mother, Krishna personally takes over their life. Personally, in that form of Govinda, of Krishna, he takes over their life. So how do we want to see Krishna? This is being posed here. We have that opportunity. We have the deities. We have the sound incarnation of the Lord in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. We have the Lord personally speaking to us in the form of Bhagavad Gita. And we see by all these great acharyas, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, he wanted to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he actually, his father and his uncle, he was the only child in the family. They were so wealthy that they would be compared to billionaires, they would be compared to the wealthiest people in India nowadays. They had so much money, and he would inherit all of this. But all of a sudden, when he saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after taking sannyas as a young boy, he saw him twice. And on the second time, he came to the Lord and he bowed down. He said, "My Lord, please save me from this well of materialistic existence." And the Lord said, "Don't become Markata Bairagi. No. You go back to your home. You have a wife. You have responsibility." He was teaching us through Raghunath that the whole spectrum of devotional service. Otherwise, you don't have to become a renunciant. externally. Become a renunciant internally first. Develop your attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, if you can be renunciant from the beginning, even better. No? But don't be attached to renunciation. No? Be attached to Krishna. That's what he was teaching. So he went back home. He was with his beautiful wife. His mother was very concerned. She spoke to his father, Govardhan, said, he wants to get away. We should tie him up. And his father, Govardhan, said, he has the most beautiful wife. He has unlimited wealth. No, but he is mad for this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No. So no ropes can bind him. Nothing. But still, they kept him under guard. No. We won't put ropes, but we'll keep guards. Every day he would try to get away. Every day. And every day they would pull him back. So one day, Jarunandan Acharya, who was the head priest and guru of everyone in the family, he said, my dear Raghunath, I have to go get one Brahmin to do the puja. And he said, no, I'll go. Let me go. I'll do that. And he said, this is my opportunity. Took off. And he said, I will not go by the regular route. He took a, imagine, he's a young boy, still a very young man. Giving up his beautiful wife, his wealth, he takes a path through the jungle and finally reaches Jagannath Puri. And that time, Lord Chaitanya accepted him. But he put him under the care of Swarup Damodar, again showing that we cannot approach the Lord directly. In the Adi Purana also, Krishna says that anyone who declares himself to be my devotee is actually not my devotee, but he who is the devotee of my devotee, he is very dear to me. So, Raghunath, he became a servant of Swarup Damodar Goswami, and he learned everything. And then he became so renounced that he was doing Madhukari. And then, finally, his father found out where he is. So he sent money and servants. And he did not take any of that money, but he told those servants, every day, or every, I think it was every 2 weeks, or every 2 months, I can't remember, but anyway, some period of time, he would do a big festival for Mahaprabhu. He did that for 2 years. Then after 2 years, Mahaprabhu, no more festival. So Mahaprabhu asked Raghunath, what happened to Raghunath? And Swarup Damodar said, he's doing Madhukari. He's not interested in this wealth. He felt like, if I take wealth from materialistic persons, how can I offer that impure, this impure wealth to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that, he went to Raghunath. He said, your uncle and your father are like younger relatives of my grandfather. Therefore, I can criticize them. They are materialistic men immersed in the filth of material existence. It is so wonderful that you have given this up. And then he didn't see Raghunath anymore. He was going to the food booth to get free food. And when Swarup Damodar told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, this is better. Begging at the gate is like a prostitute. Who will come? Who will give me money? Now he just goes to the free booth. He will automatically get some food and he can go away. But then he wasn't at the free booth anymore. Swarup Damodar went to where he was staying. And he was taking the rice that had been thrown out to the cows. But it had become so rotten that even the cows wouldn't eat it. Even the crows wouldn't eat it. No. And he took that and he would wash up the putrefied, rotten part. And then he would just take the hard grain within the rice. Just a little bit. So Swarup Damodar said, you're having such a feast and you're not inviting me. And he informed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu came, and he grabbed his hand, just like Krishna grabbed the hand of Sudama. He said, give me this feast. This is the best feast I've ever had. No. And of course, Rupa Damodara said, don't eat any more, my lord, this is not suitable. He said, no, this is the best. The renunciation of my devotees is the best. So that way, well, I mean, we could speak about Raghunath, how he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but we don't have time. Just want to take a couple minutes just to mention something about Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. He was the son of Tapan Misra. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Tapan Misra to Varanasi, which was unusual because Varanasi was full of Mayavadis. No devotees were there, practically no devotees. Maybe like Jiva Goswami, he went there, and a few devotees would go there for studying Sanskrit, but there was no devotee community. But he stayed there. But the whole purpose of being there was so when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there after visiting Vrindavan, Raghunath Bhatta was just a small boy, and he was a Brahmin boy, a Pukka Brahmin, and Raghunath Bhattacharya. He would wash the Lord's clothes, he would wash his dishes, even though he was a Brahmin. He would do all menial service. And by doing that, he became very attached to Lord Chaitanya. And after some time, he couldn't wait any longer. He went to Jagannath Puri to visit Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him. But he told him, I want you to do three things. First, you never get married. You've already been trained as a Brahmin all your life. Now you're a young man. You have all this good fortune, so don't get married. And he said, now your parents are very old, and they are Vaishnavas, so you go take care of them. No. He didn't say take care of them because they were old people. He said take care of them because they are Vaishnavas. And then he said, and always recite the Srimad Bhagavatam and the holy name. So he gave these instructions. He went back. He stayed for 4 years. Then his parents gave up their bodies. Then he immediately came back to Mahaprabhu. And he became so expert at reciting the Bhagavatam that every day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would invite him for 8 months to hear the Bhagavatam from him. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't have to hear the Bhagavatam. But he's giving us that example. There's so many examples by these acharyas. And then, after 8 months, Mahaprabhu said, now you should go to Vrindavan and join Rupa and Sanatan. And they will instruct you further in devotional service. So he went to Vrindavan, and every day they would have him recite the Bhagavatam in three or four different beautiful melodies. And everyone was enhanced and totally absorbed in this beautiful recitation by Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. So there are also many other things we can say about these great devotees, but our time has expired. So I'll stop here. And are there any questions, comments from the devotees? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a wonderful class. Maharaj, you mentioned that we can access the mercy of Lord by hearing from a qualified person. Maharaj, what is the qualification of a receiver to what he should possess to access this mercy or to keep that mercy with him?
Brahmanishtam, Kshatriyam Brahmanishtam. No, as it stated, the qualification of someone to be guru or to give transcendental knowledge, Kshatriyam, they must have heard from another qualified person and serve them. Not you just hear, but you serve them. Because by that service, the hearing becomes complete. And Brahmanishtam. And you must be fixed in what you heard. You must be fixed in practicing it. So these are the two main qualifications that we should look for. Is this person situated in the parampara? No. And does this person follow the parampara? No. Not a professional reciter, not a puffed up person so full of knowledge but with so little realization that they become angry, they become frustrated, they become greedy, they become proud. So when we see the absence of these things, or in other words, when we see manifested in someone's heart and someone's person, the Trinada Bisu Nichena Tororiba Sihishnuna Manina Mani Dena and Kirtaniya Sadahari, they're always absorbed. Srila Prabhupada describes, giving a practical definition of a Mahabhagavat in the Nectar of Instruction. He says that Mahabhagavat means a person who 24 hours a day is thinking how to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. So when we see someone who is absorbed in that way and exhibiting humility, tolerance, not desiring anything like Krishna Das Kaviraj, you know, for oneself, but simply wanting to serve others, then we can understand this is a qualified person. Yes, very good.
If we take the name of Lord Krishna or Lord Rama, jokingly or sarcastically, it is still a service. But what about if we have taken the name of demigods, jokingly, sarcastically, and laughing at out them or criticizing them? Then do they take the grant us the punishment, or what happens to when we were non-devotees? In India, those who are born in India, they sometimes make a joke about many demigods. So what is their offense outcome?
Well, we never criticize the demigod. No? But we respect them. We worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he went to South India, he went to the temple of Lord Shiva and he danced for 2 days. No? And he went to the temple of Durga, and he worshipped, he bowed down. So we always honor the demigods. But because Krishna says, he gives the instruction in Bhagavad Gita, mayaiva vihitam hitam, that everything the demigods can give, it is coming from me. And therefore Krishna he tells us, he instructs us, just worship me. You know? So just worshiping him, just like there are so many devotees here, and we're worshiping with the deity, but if we don't respect the Vaishnavas, then the deity will not accept our service. And if we don't respect the demigods, how will Krishna accept our service? So we never criticize the demigods. We don't criticize anyone. No. We only sometimes take the task of giving Krishna consciousness to others, and sometimes that requires some correction. No. But the demigods, we worship them. But we worship them as servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then everything is perfect.
No, my question is that those who are non-devotees, and if they are criticizing demigods, what will happen to them?
What? I'm sorry. What will happen to them? Those who criticize the demigod? They won't become successful, no, in devotional service. And not only that, if they're atheistic, otherwise if they negate the existence of the demigod, then how could they possibly understand who is Krishna? So, but there's no need to individually worship them. No, that's the whole point. That was Krishna's point in Bhagavad Gita. There's no need to individually worship, because we don't have the time, nor do we have the ability. Just like one time in New York, I went into a shop, one Indian man, and so I asked a question. He said, "No, I'm doing my puja." So he had two incense sticks and he had a picture of Lakshmi on the cash register, you know, like taped with tape, you know, and he's worshiping. Then he stuck the two incense within the tape, you know, and I said, "You think Lakshmi has accepted that?" I said, "Whatever wealth you have is not coming from Lakshmi, it's coming from karma. And if you don't worship the Lord of Lakshmi, then your wealth will ultimately go away." And I just walked out. So anyway. So We don't need to individually worship. That's the whole point. We just worship Krishna, and we respect the demigods as his servants, just like we're hearing here. Even the greatest of demigods, he could not see Krishna personally. But Krishna's dear devotees, Krishna's very intimate devotees, they can see Krishna, they can hear Krishna, they can touch Krishna, they can embrace Krishna. No. Even they can chastise Krishna, like Mother Yashoda, Srimati Radharani, Sri Dham. Okay, Krishna, you should eat more. You have some strength. I'm always defeating you. No. You're no challenge for me. No. You have to eat more. You have to become stronger. So these devotees here, all these devotees that we see who actually become fixed in devotional service, they are on the platform of demigods because they have become, as it says here, amara. They have become deathless by hearing the transcendental, immortal amrit of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Yes, one more question, and I think some hook will come out and take me off this chair.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you very much, Maharaj, for the wonderful class. I had two questions. The first question is, in the first half that you mentioned about the best religion nowadays is whatever I feel.
Yeah.
So, here also in this verse, in the purport is mentioned, and but how this Lord Brahma, when he received this message from Lord Vishnu within the core of the heart, he got the firm conviction and realization what to do next. Similarly, in our life also, how to get this conviction that the books that we are reading, and like once I met one another person also very recently, he was telling that, you know, unless I hear the inner voice from within my heart, I cannot accept this. So how to get ourselves also firm faith that unless, like although the message is the same coming from Lord Krishna, it is not possible that for Krishna to tell to everyone, or in current context of ISKCON, not possible for a guru to tell instructions to everyone. So how to get that firm faith and conviction to follow? Unless I received that, I also cannot develop that conviction what Lord Brahma got it.
Well, you give them prasadam in the holy name. It's like one time, one lady came to Srila Prabhupada and she said, Swamiji, I'm seeing a beautiful light, you know? And then Prabhupada said, you just keep chanting and it will go away. No. So that's how we do it. We give people the holy name, we encourage them to chant, we give them prasadam. And then eventually they can understand the greatness of Krishna and that they are incapable of understanding Krishna through their own speculation. No. But that takes time. And some people, they can't give these conceptions up that I'm hearing the inner voice, I'm like this, I'm some special. So many people will come to the temple and say, oh, I came to the Prabhupada and he told me this, and you know, standing in front of the Murti. I've heard so many people like that. And I say, okay, well, that's nice. Now, why don't you also listen to Srila Prabhupada's purports, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita? You know, what you hear here, there may be some interference. So many birds and everything. So, but what you hear from Bhagavad Gita, there'll be no interference. So, you know, we can't... Srila Prabhupada, one time he came from New Vrindavan. He was coming from Pittsburgh in U.S., airport to New Vrindavan. They brought him a big plate of sweets. You know, and Prabhupada, usually he would just take one little, you know, tulsi leaf or a little piece. But this time he took four or five sweets and everybody went, oh, jai Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada said, this is my program. And he turned to Kirtananda, he said, is it not right? This is my program. No one understood what he's talking about. He said, when I was in New York, Kirtanananda, I never said anyone, you give money, you do this, you do that. I simply said, chant Hare Krishna and take prasada. This is our program. So, because most people, they're puffed up, they're proud, they're, you know, full of so many materialistic qualities, that we should be very concerned to give them prasadam in the holy name. And then gradually they will come out of their ignorance and maybe develop a little bit of humility. But as Srila Prabhupada said, don't be surprised who leaves this movement, but be surprised who stays. No. So, anyway.
Can I ask one more question, Maharaj?
Yes.
So, then later in the second half, you mentioned about this Damodar Pandit, and you beautifully pointed out that how the intention is not enough, but has to be there with supported with correct etiquette also. So here in this case of this, you know, Damodar Pandit trying to advise Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is the mere that how we should not be critical about thinking about our superiors or Lord himself in this case of Damodar Pandit, or is it there was a fault in correctly presenting the correct intentions? So what is here in this pastime, what has been emphasized? Is this the wrong expression or not very proper presentation of the correct intentions?
Yes, everything must be done properly. No, that's the point, that how we give Krishna consciousness depends on the audience. No? Just like Srila Prabhupada, sometimes he would be speaking to certain audience and he would give them, he would present Krishna consciousness in one way, then in a university program in some Western country, he would give a whole different conception of Krishna consciousness. It's all Krishna consciousness, but different ways in which the people can understand it. So what to speak of how we deal with superiors. Just like Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, he would never criticize anyone. He would never give any... He was so much in the Mahabhagavat platform that even if someone had some faults, he would only see Krishna within them. But the duty of a preacher is to give Krishna consciousness in such a way that people will progress, but at the same time, being very sensitive to what they need. So also when we address, when, if we see something in a superior Vaishnava that is not, maybe not the highest quality, then we have to be very careful how we approach that person, how we try to do it. And the best thing to do is to mention it to someone else who is a contemporary, and let them try to give some instruction to a superior person. But actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching us that you cannot instruct the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, Mother Yashoda, as we just mentioned, Krishna's intimate friends, because they don't see him as a Supreme Person, they can chastise him. No. But when you understand that here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to be very careful. No. So, yeah, it's a matter of etiquette. That, as the saying in English is, it's not what you say, but how you say it. No. So that's like a sutra of that understanding. So I think we'll conclude here. Thank you all very much for your kind attention. All glory to Sri Guru, Sri Guranga, Sri Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta koti Vaishnava bindi ki jai.